Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you so thankful for who you are, what you've done, what you do. You are holy, and we worship you. Open our eyes, open our minds and our hearts to be transformed by the word that Brother Cal brings to us this morning. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day. When are y'all going to start responding, huh? Happy Father's Day, everybody. Glory to God. You dads, you fathers, you husbands. There's Tommy Batson. Bless God. He's here after surgery. Amen. Now, you don't have to be a father to come to this event. But I wanted to give a Father's Day gift to all of the men at Second Mile Church. Friday morning at 6 a.m., I've got a breakfast catered for just the guys. Just the guys. Sorry, girls, just the guys. But I need to know how many to prepare for. We're going to get it catered. All we're going to have to do is make coffee and juice. But it's Friday morning, June 27th. Have I got that date right, Taryn? 6 a.m. We're calling it the work. I think Jody's calling it the working man's breakfast. There'll be a devotional. We're gonna have a good breakfast. But I need to know how many of you are coming. So stand up, Taryn. You see this little lady right here? You need to let her know I'm coming. She sent out an email to everybody. How many responses did we get? 5. Bless God. Surely some of you all want some fellowship and some of you want some food. So get signed up, tell her, answer the email, whatever you got to do, but I need to know how many's coming, okay? Because I'm not going to get it catered for 5 people. Hello? So that's my gift to all you guys, all right? So y'all come, get signed up. Say amen, guys. All right. All right, we're in 1 Peter today, bless God. And we're in the 3rd sermon series of a series I'm calling A Breakthrough in Holiness. A Breakthrough in Holiness. Now, we've looked at Isaiah 6. We looked at Revelation 4. We've read some stuff from Ezekiel chapter 1. And we have found out that the chief attribute of God is holiness. Now, he's got a lot of attributes and characteristics, but the chief attribute, anytime anybody in Scripture finds himself in the manifest presence of God, man, they're just enveloped with his holiness. And so let's look at this scripture. You could rise as we honor God's word. 1 Peter chapter 1. All right, verse 13. Therefore, what's therefore? Therefore. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Now watch this, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Hallelujah. Daniel, ask God to bless the word, would you?
Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that your spirit come amongst us.
Yes, Father.
Lord, as we hear, we soak in your word, Lord, and ask that you would pass your cows and bring the word, Lord, and fill his spirit, Lord. And so we just thank you so much for being the ultimate Heavenly Father.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. Now, the chief attribute of God is holiness. And he expects his children to be holy. And so I've entitled the message today, Holiness. That's how we roll. Look at your neighbor and say, holy.
Holy.
Say it again, holy.
Holy.
Say it one more time, holy. God expects us to be holiness, and Scripture inundates us with that truth. I mean, over there in Isaiah 35, it talks about this highway of holiness that God's people are to be on. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says we're to be holy and blameless. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says that God has called us not to uncleanness, but to holiness. And so the question comes to my mind this morning, Billy, how in the world can I live a holy life in this hell-bent world we live in? Isn't that a good question? I mean, how in the world? I mean, we just don't fit in. This world is not our home. I mean, how do we swim? It's like, how do you swim upstream when everybody else is going downstream? How do we live holy? Well, thank God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Simon Peter got the answer for that. And he passed it along to us. Are you ready? I'm going to explain to you from the Word how we can live in holiness. How we can live holy lives. Y'all ready? Look at your neighbor and say, I need to hear this. Hallelujah. All right, take a look at it with me now. Here's the first thing. Holy living is possible and probable because of our future. Don't miss it. It's right there in verse 13. Don't miss it. It's right there in verse 13. He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you. Watch this. At the revelation of Jesus Christ. What he's telling us is it's possible to live a holy life if you'll focus on the world to come. I agree with David Crowder. All my hope is in Jesus. How many of you know he's coming again? And we ought to live our lives in light of the fact that he could come today. And if you'll focus, this expression here, the revelation of Jesus, that's just another way of saying the appearing of our Lord. He's coming again. And so if I can focus on that fact, my man, Adrian Rogers, you hear Billy quote him from time to time and others in this room, but here's the deal. Adrian Rogers said, we need to be living our lives as if Christ died yesterday, rose this morning, and coming this afternoon. And if you would get your mindset on that, that Jesus is and could come today, you'll live a holier life. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see, when you're expecting a guest, you prepare, right? When you're expecting visitors, well, you prepare, don't you? And so Jesus is coming again. How do you want him to see you? What do you want him to catch you doing when he comes? Woo! Only you can answer that question, not me. So, he gives us, how do I keep focused on the world to come? How do I wrap my head around this fact that Jesus could come today? And he could. Nothing else needs to happen. There's prophecy being fulfilled by our very eyes over in Israel right now. Ezekiel talked about it. Daniel talked about it. John talked about it. He could come today. And he gives us three pieces of advice as to how to live each day as if Jesus is coming again, because that's the key to holy living. Y'all, this is so good. I've never really seen this in these verses before. Watch this. Now, he gives us three pieces of advice. Here's the first one. Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up. Now, that's not something we really say anymore, right? I mean, I got to look at that and I said, what's he talking about, a girdle? I did a little digging, and girding up the loins of your mind. In Simon Peter's day, all the guys wore these long, they had an undergarment, but they wore these long outer shirts that went all the way down to your ankles. And if you wanted to move quickly in that long shirt, it kind of encumbered you. Okay? If you wanted had some manual labor to do, you couldn't really get anything much done in this tight shirt that, you know, it was what you might call one of these long tucket shirts. All right? And so what they would do is they would pick up, if they needed to move quickly, they would pick that shirt up and tuck it underneath their belt, and then they could take off and do whatever needed to be done. Y'all with me so far? I mean, this phrase has its roots in the nation of Israel. The Israelites were told to eat the Passover meal, how? In haste. And so they girded their loins, they had their shoes on. Why? Because the next morning, they were to scoot and get out of Egypt. And so we might say, girding up your loins in a different way, we might say, roll up the shirt sleeves of your mind. Prepare your mind for action. In other words, this up here has something to do with holy living. We need to get prepared for holy living. Y'all with me so far? Okay, so when he says gird up the loins of your mind, he's talking about prepare your minds for action, specifically for holy living. And then there's a second piece of advice here. Watch this. He says be sober. And that word means self-control. Self-control. And what we might describe it as stay on your toes. Be alert. Be ready. Why? Because it's so easy to go with the flow in this world. Isn't it? I mean, the world has a strong pull, a strong attraction. And so we not only need to prepare our minds for action in holiness, we need to be ready and stand alert. Be sober. And then there's a third thing. Y'all, isn't this great advice from the Word of God? Here it is. Here's the third piece. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you. Rest your hope fully on the grace of God. All of your confidence should be and can be in the grace of Almighty God. You were saved how? How are you saved? By grace through? Yeah. You were saved by grace. You didn't deserve it. You couldn't work for it. You didn't merit it. God just gave it to you. And what'd you do? You just reached out and took it. Grace. But here's the deal, folks. Every single day of our lives after salvation, God provides more grace. Every day. And so we rest fully in the wonderful grace of Almighty God. And all of our decisions, all of our choices, all of our actions are based on the grace of Almighty God. He'll give you what you need to live a holy life. You can have confidence in the grace of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Now, how many of y'all like to read Hebrews 11? That is a powerful chapter of Scripture. It is the heroes of the faith. The hall of faith, I call it. And all throughout there, it says, by faith, so and so did. By faith, by faith. And then it gets to Abraham, who exercises his eyes of faith through God's grace. And the Scripture says that he kept his eyes on the city whose builder and maker is God. Keep your eyes focused on the world to come. Keep your eyes focused. I was going to read this and I about forgot, but God has laid it on my heart. Listen to this powerful Scripture. This would be some good Scripture memory for us. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God, hallelujah, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. You see, we're all without excuse, every one of us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There it is. Are you living, looking for the blessed hope? Are you looking for Jesus to come? Well, if you are, bless God. You are going to prepare your mind for holy living. You are going to be sober. You're going to be self-controlled. You're going to be alert and ready to do that. And then you're going to rest fully upon the grace of God as you look to Him. How many of you know He could come today? I used to tell our Sunday night, this is awful. Preachers do some stupid things. We do. But, you know, we used to have Sunday night services. And then COVID, well, I don't need to go there. But you know what I used to tell the Sunday night crowd? I'm so glad y'all are here tonight because Jesus is probably going to come on Sunday night. He's coming. I don't know when He's coming, but He's coming soon. And we better be prepared. We better be ready. And you do that by holy living. Isn't that good stuff? And so holy living is possible because of our future. But there's a second thing in verse 14 and 15. He says, holy living is possible because of our calling. Watch this. Because of our calling. I'm still in Titus. I've got to go back to here. Here we go. as obedient children, not conforming. You remember that word? I spent two Sundays back a few months ago on Romans 12, 1 and 2. Conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Now that word call is a very interesting word. It has to do with, it was used whenever someone was summoned or appointed. A summons or appointed, a person would be summoned or appointed for a specific vocation or destination. We've been called to a different lifestyle. We've been called to a higher standard. We've been called to a different way of living by the one who's holy. Hallelujah. We've been called out. Now I want you to just think about, for just a moment, think about what God's called you out of and what God has called you from, over and against what God has called you to. Man, Ephesians 2:2 says, we were once children of disobedience. Guys, I think the King James, I mean the New King James calls it sons of disobedience. And brothers, it's time we stepped up and led our homes in holiness. We were imitators of the world. We were fashioning ourselves according to the standards and the pleasures of this world. We were spiritually ignorant and spiritually blind, that verse 14 tells us. We did things according to the way the world does things. Are y'all with me? This is a tough message to hear, I understand. But just think where God has called you from. Y'all be patient with me. He's called me, but He's not done with me yet. And so what have you been called out of? What called from? I used to live like a dog, and so do all the rest of us. You don't hear that anymore today. We're sinners. Billy mentioned it last Sunday. We're sinners saved by God's grace. We didn't deserve it, but God gave it to us, and we receive it. And when we took it, hallelujah, He called us out. You're the called out people of God. He has called us to a different lifestyle. He's called us to a new standard. He has called us, and He has sanctified us, and He wants us to live in a way that's pleasing to Him. And you can do that because He's holy. I'll talk more about that in just a minute. But now, watch this. You see that word conformed? We talked about that, didn't we? About 3 months ago. God expects us not to be conformed to this world, but to be renewed. But to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I about turned that backwards. To be transformed. Not conformed, but transformed. Hallelujah. Now, why does he bring up obedient children? This is so good. I was glad that we had the kids down here today. How many of you understand the fact that kids start acting like their folks? Now, I don't know what that says about some of us, but children eventually start taking on the values, the morals, and the attitudes, and the lifestyles of mom and dad. They start talking like them, looking like them, dressing like them, living like them, walking like their moms and dads do, because they're obedient children. Well, on a higher scale, we have a Heavenly Father who is holy. And therefore, we're to be obedient as He is holy. I want to tell you, you parents are making the difference. You grandparents, you uncles, y'all are making the difference. Just keep plugging away. Keep living Jesus in front of them. Help them. And it says, to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. You know, brothers and sisters, before we got saved, we were ignorant of the ways of the world. We just fell right into it. We didn't know what we were doing. We were spiritually blind, spiritually ignorant. But now we've been called out of that mess. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to upset some of you. But it's going to tear me up so bad I'm only going to eat 2 hamburgers for lunch today. Here's the deal. There hadn't been anything done that's created more damage to the cause of Christ than hypocritical living of so-called believers. Sunday morning Christianity, that mess has got to go. And the reason I'm so passionate is because I was one. And I'll answer for that. I'll lose some rewards and positions and places of service because we're to be different. We're called to be different. And we have a higher calling. And it's a better calling. It's a bigger calling. And I've said it before, you don't have to go out here and act all weird. Just be like Jesus. Don't be like Mike, be like Jesus. We're not called to be like them, we're called to be like Him. Oh, come on somebody. Hallelujah. And so we've been called out of this mess. I need to move on. Holy living is possible because of our future hope. All my hope is in Jesus. Isn't that a great song? Holy living is possible because of our calling, and then holy living is possible because of the Scriptures. Watch this. There's a sanctifying effect in the Word of God. Do you know that? Look at verse 16. I'm sorry. We're almost done. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, that is a quotation from Leviticus 11:44. Scripture is so important for the child of God. You need to be getting into the Word of God so that you can come to know the God of the Word. And then you will understand what it is that He... How in the world can you expect to know what holy living's like if you're not in the Word of God? Get in the Scripture. Get in the Word. You don't know. I mean, You'll find all of God's principles. You'll find His precepts. You'll find His promises. You'll find His peace. You'll find His power. You'll find His purpose. You'll find all those P's in the Word of God. We talked about this last week. Every temptation that you wind up under, God's got a promise for that. Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word. Some of you guys that are here today, I love you enough to tell you this. This will probably be the only time this week when you're in the Bible. No wonder you're having trouble. No wonder you're struggling. Get in the Word of God. Learn it. Listen to it. Read it. Apply it to your life. You'll be the better for it. And here's what I've heard this for years. How many of you have seen an old worn out Bible? Anybody got a worn out Bible here today? Here's one right here. Anybody else got a worn out Bible? Here's one. That's worn out. It's stuff falling out of it. There's another one back there. Most of the time, a worn out Bible belongs to somebody whose life is not worn out. Hello? Because they're in the Word. And you'll find God's will in His Word. You'll find all about holy living and how you're supposed to talk and how you're supposed to walk and how you're supposed to live. It'll tell you all of that. Hallelujah. Thank God for these worn out Bibles. Now, I'm going to close with this. You better be careful when a preacher says, "I'm closing." You know how that goes, right? Do you see that phrase, "Be holy for I am holy"? The emphasis there, we put it in the wrong place. Where do we put the emphasis? Be holy. Being holy. I want to submit to you that the emphasis is in the wrong place in that sentence on being holy. It should be in the latter part, "for I am holy." Hello? When you got saved, you got the strongest power in the universe to take up residence in your life. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And because you have the holiness of God in you, holy living is possible and probable. But you can't live a holy life if you don't have the holiness of God in you. Y'all with me? And so the best way, well, one of the ways to live a clean life in a dirty society is to focus on, by the way, I love Ephesians 3:20. Somebody uses it every Friday morning in our prayer group. We know that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the what? Where is it? That works within us. You've got the Spirit of the living God, and He'll give you what you need to be holy. But you can't do it without Him, but He can. There was a... Now don't check out on me just because I'm closing my Bible. There was a guy eating in a restaurant one night. And the waiter brought over his an unacceptable glass of water. It was kind of cloudy, kind of nasty looking. And so he set it down and then walked off, and then he said... The restaurant patron said, "Come over here, Mr. Waiter. I got something I need to tell you." So the waiter came over to the table, and the customer held up that glass of water, and he said, "Is the water this cloudy all the time in this restaurant? Is it this cloudy all the time?" And he set it back down, and the waiter said, "No, sir. There's nothing wrong with our water here. The problem is you're drinking out of a dirty glass." God's holy living waters will only sparkle in a clean vessel. Let that sink in. That's what He's calling us to here today. The holiness of God, that's how we roll. Would you bow your head with me? It's time for God to do a work here amongst us. Now's the most important time of this entire service. Please don't distract anybody from making a decision for Christ. Please don't do that. If you're here today and God has struck a chord in your heart and in your life, now's your time to respond in obedience. Obedience. Maybe you need, I could go through a list of stuff. I'm not going to do that because the Holy Spirit's bigger than I am. And He's able to point out those things in your life that need to be cleaned up. And I know we've had one altar call, but you can't have enough of those in the Baptist church today. And it is time that we quit living hypocritical lifestyles. It is time that we begin to live a holy life which glorifies and honors and praises God. And so I want to pray for us. Now, having said that, let me say this. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you're not truly a child of God, there's no way you're going to be able to do this. You've got to have the Holy Spirit to do it. And that comes by grace through faith. You need to receive Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I want to lift up all my brothers and sisters to You. Oh God, do a work in us. Help us to let go of this stupid stuff that keeps us from Your best. I know what I'm talking about because I was right there. I was right there 40 years ago. Oh God, please help us. Minister life to us. Show us where we need to get right. What area needs to be cleaned up. And repent of that and turn from it. And Father, maybe some need the privacy of the prayer room back here, the war room. Whatever You want to do, God. And just because somebody comes to an altar doesn't mean they've got huge sin in their life either. They just need prayer. God, if there's somebody here today that needs saving, oh, I pray, God, that You would lead them to one of our great salvation counselors. I'd be glad to share the gospel with anybody here today. Thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do during this short time right now. Minister life here to us, God. We ask it in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We pray it in the name of Jesus of Nazareth and for His sake. Amen. Stand quietly and reverently. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.